The best of British on LBC with Hampton by Hilton, making you welcome in London, Bournemouth, Glasgow and over 20 other hotels in the UK.
Hello, I'm Nick Ferrari with The Best of British with Hampton by Hilton, a series of one-to-one conversations with leaders in the world of business. Over the course of the next few months, I'll be speaking with trailblazers who are leading the way in business and doing things differently. Go online to lbc.co.uk to find out more. And this time, well, Joe Wicks. And Joe, what do I call you? I've got fitness influencer, social media influencer, author, TV presenter, TV star and genius. Which one do I start with, Joe?
I sometimes get this question a lot when I have to write, like, on you know, on the form when you go into a country, like, what do I do? I sometimes forget, am I a trainer, am I a chef? Because I'm not a qualified chef, but obviously I've got the cookbooks, but I suppose I see myself as like an online fitness entrepreneur.
If you still had to put on a passport, is that what you think you'd put then?
Well, I normally just write chef just to speed things up, but yeah, because I'm kind of self-taught, I don't see myself as an actual chef.
Yeah.
I don't really see myself as a TV personality. I'm more like, yeah, but I've born on social media and that's where I spend most of my time. So I'm kind of like a YouTuber, Instagrammer, which is all about around fitness and nutrition.
And you are, we're talking about people who are leading in the world of business. You have an incredible business that's behind you and in front of you because you're a very young bloke, but without in any way being derogatory, didn't necessarily start that way because you grew up on a council estate. Does that, in some way, does that enforce you? Did that empower you? How did that affect you?
Yeah, so I grew up on a council estate in Epsom and Yule, and yeah, I suppose I never, like, really was that ambitious. I thought I was going to become a school teacher. You know, my dad's a roofer, my mum's a social worker. So never really kind
they
of...
They weren't together, though, were they?
They always broke up. They're right. Not together now, but no, they were, like, in and out. My dad was in and out. But, yeah, so I suppose, yeah, sort of raised by my mum and with my brother, Nicky, and I've got another little brother called George. But I suppose, yeah, it made me hard working in the fact that I wanted to just, you know, make my mum and dad proud and do something. And so once I put my energy into something, whether it was the personal training in the beginning or the kind of online social media stuff, I just have a really strong work ethic.
Yeah. I'm going to come to that in a minute. So school, if you had have been a teacher, what would Mr. Wicks have been a teacher of?
I would have been a PE teacher because right. I was a little bit distracted and a little bit of a troublemaker at school, a little bit of a class clown. So, but the one thing I was really good at was sport and PE, and I always had a good relationship with my PE teacher because I never got kicked out of that class. But all the other ones, I was, you know, putting my hand up, messing around and sort of, you know, getting in detention around stuff. I wasn't very academic in terms of, like, maths and science and English, but put me, like, in a sport or doing, like, a team game and having fun like that, and I was always really good.
So if we go far enough, and I promise you I haven't got time and I won't be, but are there pictures of you in the first 11 football team and the first 11 cricket team or first 15 rugby, or where do we find you?
Yeah, definitely. I was always playing football, but I was more, like, also athletic, so I'd, like, love, like, 800 metres, 1500 metres and cross-country. I had a little engine. I could just run for ages. I remember thinking that I'd run to school and I'd be running around every single playtime, always out and about. So I've always found fitness and exercise like a part of me and something I love to do.
Don't want to be rude. Mum and Dad, are they fit people?
Dad's got a little belly on him. He'll admit that. But no, my mum's really slim and my dad now is really into yoga. So they're both into their fitness. But I think my kind of presence online and my direction with food and fitness has definitely influenced them. They become healthier, I think.
If Dad's got a bit of a tummy on him, he needs to follow some of your courses or get into some of your plans, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, no, he just loves his chocolate. But he's really into yoga, so he's just qualified to become a yoga teacher now. So he's a roofer.
Right?
But he's done that for years, since he was 15, 16. And he's done, and I don't want him on a roof anymore. So I said, look, do your course. He went to Costa Rica, so he's qualified. And he's doing a class at my office once a week just to get some experience. So hopefully he'll, you know, have a bit more of a laid-back lifestyle and do what he loves rather than running up and down with buckets of asphalt on a roof.
Word or two about your mum. It was your mum who principally brought you up. And it's fair to say, if the research is correct, she wasn't necessarily that great on diet and nutrition.
No,
it,
yeah.
It was chocolate biscuits most of the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just remember my cupboards being packed full of, like, you know, chocolate and wagon wheels and crisps and, you know, never really, I mean, like, it was like frozen ready meals and, you know, potato waffles and crispy pancakes and all that. She'd just bang it in the oven. And the main staple food we had was pasta with tomato sauce. And sometimes we'd have mince, but she always used to say, oh, boys, do you want a picnic? Like, do you want a picnic? So basically a picnic after school would be like sandwich, like bag of crisps and a chocolate bar. And then, yeah, that was like a common thing. And then she'd say to me, I used to love juice. And I'd say, oh, Mum, is there any juice? And she'd go, yeah, we got some council juice. Go in the tap. She called water council juice. And it always got me. She'd be like, yeah, there's some council juice in there. And I'd run in there. And I'd be like, what do you mean? She's like, well, it's the tap water, isn't it? So she used to get me. Even now she does that.
Well, We're going to talk about the epiphany in a moment, but again, as part of the research I've done, it's reported that you only started your Instagram to get more customers, and you only started recipe and diet plans because you hoped if you sold 10 a month, you'd have to work a little less and you'd have an extra morning in bed. This is like the cheat's way to success, isn't it, ultimately?
Yeah, I was working really hard, so I was doing, like, boot camps every morning, I was doing personal training, like, really late at night. It's a really great job and I loved it, but it's quite antisocial in the fact that all your mates are down the pub or having picnics on a weekend and I'm, like, up every morning. I was leaving early and, you know, on a Friday night, I'd be like, I've got to go now, boys, because I was getting up. And so the idea to create an online plan was literally, I thought, it'd be lovely to have a little bit of extra income, have another day off when I haven't got to, you know, run around and do boot camps. But I always knew that I couldn't be a personal trainer forever. It was just, it's a young man's game, and I thought, I need an exit strategy.
When you say young man's game, what typically, when do they peak? Are they like football players, that kind of age?
I mean, I still know there's... I'm 31 and I loved it, but getting up every morning at 6 a.m. and being out till like 9 p.m. it's tough on your relationship. And if you have kids, like, I imagine when you're, you know, when you've had very little sleep, to get up and do a boot camp and be that energetic. So I don't think you got to stop at a certain age. I think you can be doing it all your life. But I always knew that I wanted to build something a bit bigger and I wanted to reach more people than just like that 10 people in a park that day in Surbiton.
Talk me through now the construction of your business. Do you have full-time staff, contract staff? How does the Joe Wicks business run?
So I went from, like, working on my own, you know, with a Sitchin Berlingo and a couple of dumbbells and, like, a couple
That's
of boxing pads.
That's a van, pads. Just to
yeah.
explain to anyone.
Sitchin Berlingo. but even before that, I had a trailer. And then I basically used to cycle there, set up the boot camp, and then eventually I could afford to get this little banged-up Sitchin Berlingo, which I called it the Rumberlingo, because it had, like, my branding on the side of it. But I went from that to literally hiring 40 staff in the space of a year. So I've got 40 employed staff in an office in Richmond. It's obviously a big overhead, but I really wanted to invest in the people. And I've got a general manager that manages them. So I can be anywhere in the world doing the social media and the company still runs itself.
What sort of boss are you?
I'm not like a hiring, firing kind of guy. Like, I kind of go in, bounce around, give a bit of energy, make everyone laugh and smile, but I don't like the whole kind of, you know, having to like fire people or do all the kind of businessy stuff. But I'm learning on the job, basically. I'm more of a kind of, I don't sit like at a desk. I kind of mingle around and just, I feel like I'm more like one of them than just like someone at the top, you know?
How easy is it to give instructions to someone who's older than you?
Yeah, my general manager, he's 40 years old, but he's such a cool guy. Like, I knew once I met him, he was going to be perfect for the job because it's quite a young staff force and they're really motivated because ultimately it's a customer service role where when someone signs up to my online fitness plan, there's someone at the end of an email to kind of motivate them, inspire them throughout the plan. So they're really young, they're passionate and they all want, you know, they're hungry to you know, kind of for career development and learning. So I've got a manager called Bev who she's like mentors me a little bit, so she kind of helps me, but I'm just very good at relationships, so I don't boss people around, but I know how to help someone get to a result, you know, and get to an end goal.
How do you plot strategy? How will you grow the business?
I'll be honest with you,
organic, it will just kind of happen.
Up until now, like, literally, like, it grew so quick. I had like 10 people signing up a day and then suddenly it was 100 and I was like, I need an office, I need to get them under one roof and I need a content strategy. But I'm now going to sit down over the next few months and really like have a 5-year strategy because I don't really know. I've got to make a decision whether I'm going to go to the US, if I'm going to, you know, try different
what,
markets.
Do you mean permanently?
Not permanently, but in terms of like trying to like put my business over there.
Talk
a little
to
bit
me
more.
About the opportunities that you think the US might present you then, Joe.
Well, there's millions of people there and they're all, you know, there's so many people that need the kind of advice I've got, which is you don't need to starve yourself. You can eat healthy food and it's getting people thinking about cooking again. So I would love to have, you know, just a tiny bit of the success I've had here because I've had, you know, 2 million people have bought my book in the UK, but only like 10,000 copies in the US. So there's so many people out there that could do with my advice. So my mission is to reach people, whether that's TV, social media, podcast, you know, radio. I'm constantly trying to connect with my audience and that's my mission. I'll be doing this in 15 years' time, 20 years' time.
It's actually worth reminding, so for those who are listening now who are not familiar with your phenomenon, the whole idea is that you help people diet, but you're not allowed to say the diet word, isn't it? Just give the idea of your ethos of your business, Joe.
Yeah, so I'm a massive believer in, you know, anybody can be lean, it's never too late, and no matter how busy you are, whether you're a really successful entrepreneur, whether you've got kids and your family of 3 or 4, like, you can make 15 minutes to cook your meal. So the whole thing is based around short, quick, intense workouts that can be done anywhere at home, the gym, you know, in the park, and then 15-minute meals. So the concept behind Lean in 15 is 15-minute meals that you can do anywhere, anytime. And so that philosophy is really kind of, it's nothing new, it's not like radical it's just the same message, you know, exercise and eat healthy food, but I'm delivering it in a way that's making it really accessible, and people can be like, people are sort of thinking, yeah, I can do that, and it's making people give it a go and actually get results.
Let's come back. I know you say you're not keen on hiring and firing, but for people listening now who want to get involved in a business that's got a very young outlook and is run clearly very dynamic, how should someone present themselves if they're being interviewed by someone like you? What are you looking for?
So when we did the big recruitment, like I sent out a post on social media, and I think 2,000 people applied. We had an agency that helped us like go through the ones and get the candidates. And I went at the last stage. It was like a kind of visions day where I told them the visions of my business. And then we had a big group day, which I loved. But in terms of, I personally think that you should just always be yourself and passion. Like I hired that day on passion over kind of, you know, skill and education and knowledge.
Break that down for me. What do you mean? So I've not necessarily got any qualifications, right? I haven't got any GCSEs or whatever it is you might need, but by God, I'm committed and I've just light a fire inside you. You might sign the papers. Yeah, hire him. He's all right.
Yeah, I just think you can always train for skill, you know, but passion's something you either have it or you don't. And I wanted to get people that were like mini body coaches, basically, that were, you know, were as understanding as passionate about helping people get fit. And so I know that everyone in that office is there because, you know, they're there because they really believe in what I'm doing. They want to grow what I'm doing and reach more people and have an impact on people's lives. But, of course, some jobs you need to be qualified and you need certain qualifications. But with what I was doing, it was like I want to train them and, you know, really, really educate them on the plan and the product itself so that when they become part of the business, they're like, you know, really, really passionate and they understand the beliefs behind it.
I mean, as you alluded to this earlier, that the growth has been extraordinary in a very short number of time, in just a few short years, and it would appear virtually everything you turn your hand to is a success story. You mentioned a book. There's a new book out now, even as we're speaking, Cooking for Family and Friends, 100 Lean Recipes to Enjoy Together. That's out now. This is going to be, I think, your fourth book. Most of them, you've already had the second best-selling cookbooks of all time. You sell faster than any of the other well-known people in this sphere. Have you had any setbacks? Professionally?
Have I had setbacks?
Professionally?
It's mad seeing all those stats and stuff, and it's crazy, and it's just because I've got such a deep, engaged audience on social media. Setbacks, I suppose, the biggest setback is that whole thing of, you know, I had to, like, invest in a really, really expensive office for 3 years and get staff, and it wasn't a setback, it was a challenge. But finding there were a few people in the beginning that kind of didn't fit with the culture and the philosophy of the company, and obviously making sure that everyone in that room wants to be there, because some people kind of, you know, they'll stay, there's that thing of like they quit that but they stay, and they're sort of not really passionate. So I think that for me is the biggest challenge, because I don't like the thought of, you know, people having to get fired or people not fitting in. But that's something that's the biggest challenge, yeah, and finding people that are really passionate.
We've only been talking for 10, 12 minutes or whatever it is, but I can see the passion and the motivation that's coming across the desk from you. But how do you keep that motivation going? How do you, if someone starts to slacken off, but you really rate him or her, how do you re-energise them professionally?
I mean, I just like, I'm always sitting down and chatting with people, and I've got, you know, we have appraisals where we kind of, I try and make the office, because obviously the job could be like considered, you know, a little bit repetitive in the fact that the questions might be the same every day. But I've made that office so fun. The culture in that place is
amazing.
Tell me how
it's fun.
So we've got like, well, first of all, like we've got like a gym, and we've got a studio kitchen where we do like cooking together, and we've got like workouts, like lunch clubs. We have, you know, we have parties. We have like fun days out. We go like, you know, paintballing and go-karting and all sorts of stuff, because there's a culture of like, we're in this together, and we know we're on a mission. Like, we really are. We believe that what we're doing is really changing people's lives.
So you say 30 or 40 staff currently. Well,
yeah.
We'll come back to your US, possible US enterprise in a moment, but you're going to grow that probably in the next few years, are you? You think you'll have, what, more regional centres, or are you just not quite sure yet?
I'm not too sure, like, if we'll need regional centres, because we can obviously have, we can have people working from home. We don't necessarily need people in an office in a different country. But the brand is global, and the fact that there's people signing up all over the world, so it's not just a UK thing. So since we launched, 160,000 people have signed up, and it almost grew. Like, with my social media, as my social media grew, the people signed up to the plan just went almost the same with the graph. So it's just keeping that going, keep getting new followers and new audiences.
What other businesses or brands do you admire, and why?
Whenever I get asked this question, I always come back to Jamie Oliver when I think about, because I was listening to his podcast, Desert Island Disc, from 2001, and that was 15 years ago, and he was just about to set up his first restaurant. And the way he talked then and the way he talks now, like his message is not changed. And I see him, I follow him on Instagram, and he's travelling, and he's just grafting and constantly you know, even he's so successful, but he continues to go. And it, so him, for me, is like, as in terms of an entrepreneur and someone who just works hard and is passionate, definitely Jamie Oliver.
Well, that's interesting because there's a note, again, in some of the research I've done, that you say you want to work with the NHS, you want to work with schools. And, of course, that the latter of those two, Jamie Oliver, did and did very successfully. I mean, you would have been at school with that famous School Dinners TV show. You've just been leaving school.
Yeah.
What do you actually want to do with schools and the NHS then, Joe?
So I think a really important time of kind of a child's learning and their education is between like leaving primary school like 10, 11 and going into high school when they start to like buy their own food and they make their own food choices. That's when they really need to be influenced on making the right choices. So I did this live Facebook workout where I basically did a Facebook session, blasted it to Facebook and YouTube, and 100,000 kids took part. So it was instant impact, and I know that night they would have gone home and told their parents. And so I'm trying to come at it from a fitness perspective rather than try and really sort of, you know, change the world with their food. It's more like, let's get them thinking about exercise, and then off the back of that, they might start to eat healthy, make better choices. But I'm sort of thinking more from a fitness perspective to start with.
Yeah, everyone talks about this problem of childhood obesity, the almost an epidemic. So you're not so much looking at food. If we could actually get, within reason, if we could get these kids exercising more, then they can, within reason, eat what they... Obviously, they can't just eat chips all day long, but they could eat what they like.
Yeah, well, I think what it is, if I can get them exercising and then, you know, at the back and at the end of that, or give them some kind of content or, like, coursework or an online, you know, plan or some information where it's like, this is the sort of food you should be eating after you exercise, this is the stuff you should be eating if you don't exercise today, so... I just don't want to be too hardcore on the nutrition side of it because it's difficult to preach to kids about what to eat, but it's just encouraging to make better choices. But I just think exercise, if that can become a fundamental part of their lives, then it's a really good step to the obesity thing.
And how would you seek to apply that to the NHS?
So yeah, again with the NHS, there's just so many people that, you know, are struggling, and they're all like, you know, on diets that probably aren't going to get them the results they want, and they're really struggling, like starving themselves on these low-calorie deprivation diets. So I would love to have a course or some kind of program where, you know, my 90-day plan, which is really educational, is available to people, because I've seen what it's doing to people. It's helping millions of people, and even now on my TV show, one of the ladies, she was, you know, on type 2 diabetic and was having 8 diabetes like pills a day, and she's within 6 weeks she's already half the medication. So I believe that fitness and nutrition can really help people, and that can cure so many issues, you know.
And lastly, you say that you might be eyeing up going bigger into the US market. What's your unique offering, do you think? What can you bring, because there will be no shortage of people who are trying to get into that market. What have you got that you think that might be the dynamic to get you through?
I think it just comes down to like my personality and the way I deliver things, and I want people to kind of think differently. It's not about spending hours in the gym and eating 1,000 calories a day. Like, I really try and get people to do, you know, really short workouts and cooking healthy food. So, you know, I know it's been done before, but I think I have the ability to connect with people and kind of really inspire them and motivate them. So I'll just be pushing all my social media, doing some collaborations out there and trying to build my audience there. But ultimately, I'll just keep, you know, blowing the horn about healthy food and exercise.
Joe, it's great meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
The best of British on LBC with Hampton by Hilton, making you welcome in Bristol, Birmingham, Liverpool, and over 20 other hotels in the UK.